Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
It's already been introduced, but again, can we please give Reggie a very warm welcome?
Hey, if everyone can look to your right, which would be my left, over against the wall, you see those ropes up there? You know how many nightmares in elementary school I had because of that rope right there? I had this whole section laughing. I went, this is bad news right here. I'm way too big. The ones with the knots, I like those. Not so much on that one. Didn't work out for me. Do me a favor. Here's what we do. As an American, black American preacher, we always have titles with our sermons. And in order to give you the title for this morning, you have to talk to your neighbor one more time. So everybody touch your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, this is your spot. Turn to somebody on the other side of you and say, neighbor, this is your spot. Oh, that's good. That's good. So the title of my whole thing today is This Is Your Spot. If you got a Bible and if you want to know where I'm going to run, I'm going to tell you a Bible story. It's real simple. It's in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. While you're going to Luke chapter 19, here's how I do it. I read a little, explain a little. Read a little, explain. I'll make sure everybody goes on the journey with us and then we'll get there together, all right? In Luke chapter 19, verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Okay, now let's stop right there. So Jesus, he ain't even staying in Jericho. He's trying to get to somewhere else. He's just passing through town. He's just walking through town. So Jesus enters Jericho and he's just passing through. Verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and he was wealthy. Okay, stop right there. So a tax collector is somebody that comes and takes your money. So first of all, this dude Zacchaeus takes your money. And to add on the top of him taking your money, the next phrase says, he rich. So he's taking your money. Anybody going with me now on this? I'm putting a whole new spin on this story, okay? He's taking your money and he drives a Maserati. Y'all got it now? You got a Ford, he got a Maserati. And that ain't right. That ain't right. Touch your neighbor and say, I don't like him. Neither did the people there. They just didn't like him. Because he got a Maserati and he taking your money. He rich. You ain't got none. You riding a bicycle and he got a Maserati and you still giving him money. Anybody get the point why I'm mad? Because I don't even have to pay tax. I wasn't alive back then. But it makes me mad. Next verse. Verse 3. It says, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Okay, that just adds to it right there. First of all, the dude's from New Zealand. He's a hobbit, all right? He's from New Zealand. Let's just go on and say it right now, all right? That's where they made the movie. So he's like one of them dudes with big hairy feet, all right? And you not only do you have to give somebody your money, you got to give your money with a Maserati. So now he can't see Jesus because of the crowd. So obviously he's like, excuse me, can I see? And people look back, see it's him. And they're like, no, you little hobbit, go find your own way. It ain't good. But I got to admit, I kind of like him. Now some of you have heard this story 100 times. Some of you church people, but you ain't never heard it like this. You know why? Because you got to start putting yourself, if you want the Bible to come to life, put yourself in the story. So I'm just showing you how I read the Bible for myself. Otherwise, even the Bible can get boring to you. But if you put yourself in the story, like I'm thinking, if I'm a little dude and I got a Maserati and people don't let me see Jesus, forget them, all right? I don't need Jesus. I got a Maserati, all right? But no, not this guy. He still wanted to see. So check out what he does. Verse 4. Verse 4 says, so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree because he knew Jesus was going that way. Now, I want to see this video when I get to heaven. I want to see how that little brother grabbed that first limb. I just thought, it's not right. It's not right. I know, I think wrong things. It's like, he's like, can't get up. Can't get he ran home, got a ladder, went into the tree and climbed up. That's probably what he did. But he got up in a tree. You know why? What I like about it, he never gave up. Even when people say no, He kept trying. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, this is your spot. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot. Y'all get it? I know, I'm a smart brother, y'all. Come on, y'all know that's right. That's the title, get it? When Jesus reached the spot. There you go. This is your spot. See spot, run. This is your spot. One last time, touch your neighbor and say, this is your spot. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I'm going to stay at your house today. Whoa. I started reading at verse 1 of chapter 19. It's a whole different topic. And chapter 18, total different topic. So when I started reading, it's the first time you ever hear Zacchaeus' name is when it says a man named Zacchaeus. Now, here's the deal. How did Jesus know a man's name when he hadn't met him before? I know. Some of y'all are like, okay, now I never thought about that one. But it says when Jesus got to the spot, he stopped and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. He didn't even say, hey, bro, what's your name? Hey, little dude in the tree, what's your name? Hey, dude with the Maserati parked around the corner, what's your name? He didn't do any of that, because if he did, it would have been there. He just looked up and said, Zacchaeus. You know how he knew his name? Because Jesus is half God, half man. He's God in human form. So the guy, he didn't take his godness off when he became man. That's what makes the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus so great, is because he didn't have to die, because he was still God. But he chose to die for you. He chose to die for me. So the God in him, and the Bible specifically says that when we breathe our breath, first breath, God gives it to us, that he breathes life into us. So he knew Zacchaeus' name because he gave Zacchaeus his first breath. So when he got to that spot and looked up and went, Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house today. He knew who he was because he made him. And on a Sunday morning, he knows who you are because he made you. Zacchaeus came down out of the tree, and the brother was like, oh my Lord, he know my name. So he comes out of the tree, and it says, all the people around saw this and began to mutter, how can God, how can Jesus go and be the guest of a sinner? But Zacchaeus stood up and said, look, here and now I'll give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay them back 4 times the amount. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. And I love verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save the lost. Now, here's what I want you to do. Touch somebody beside you and say, it's the truth. Touch somebody else and say, he ain't lying. Now, to say that that this is your spot, that this is your moment, that this is your choice, this is your chance, and to put it in the Bible, that's a cool story to use, this is your spot. But what about now? What about us? So I'm going to tell you something that's true. I'll give you the date. Everybody say December 7th, 1988. On December 7, 1988, a man in a small country called Armenia, which used to be a part of the Soviet Union, he walked down the hall, the small hall of his house, and he opened the door of the bedroom of his son. And when he opened the door to his son's bedroom, the son was sound asleep. So the dad fell on all fours, crawled across the bedroom floor, a little weird, peeked over the edge of the bed, and started whispering the same phrase over and over again. And every time he said it, he got a little louder. He said this to his son. Then it got a little weird. I'll always be there for you. I'm just joking. Y'all were too quiet anyway. I hate scary movies. I don't like scary movies. You know why I don't like scary movies? Anybody ever seen a scary movie ever in your life? Oh, you're not raising your hand because you're in church, aren't you? Yeah. You can do it. Okay, who's that? Hey, clap if I'm right. Black people die first. Yeah. And if you Asian, you next. I'm just saying, all right. Hey, Em, it's all right, dog. Get behind me. It's going to take them a long time to chew me up. You can get away, all right? So I'm just saying. Some of you didn't laugh. Some of you like, is that racist? No, I'm black. I could do those jokes. It's like, we're okay. We're all right. Oh, that's great. 90% of you are having a good time. 10% is like, it's going to be all right, dog. It's going to be all right. by the time the dad got to the, I'll always be there for you, the son was laughing his head off. So the dad scooped him up, got him showered, dressed, gave him breakfast, and hand in hand, they walked to the school at the end of the street. Every day, the dad did that. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He would take his son to school, and when school got out, he was there to pick him up. Every day. The first time he ever told his son, I'll always be there for you, was 2 years earlier. Unfortunately, it was the day that he buried his wife. And the little boy said goodbye to his mom. She was in a car accident and there was nothing they could do to save her. And for 2 years, this dad quit his high-paying job, took another job where he didn't have to go until after his son went to school, and he could leave before his son got out of school. So every day he's there. Every morning he woke him up. Every day, multiple times, I'll always be there for you. I'll always be there for you. I'll always be there for you. And on this day, they didn't know what was going to happen. Because see, on December 7, 1988, in a small country called Armenia, there was an earthquake. And it was 6.8 on the Richter scale. And thousands of people died and thousands of people were injured. This dad dropped his son off at school and started walking to work. He never got to work when the earthquake hit. He turned and started running back to the school. When he turned the corner and he could physically see the school was a three-story building with 1,000 students, but it was too weak to hold that earthquake. And it imploded on itself and collapsed on itself, burying every kid. The only thing you could recognize was the school gate. The dad ran up to the school gate. First thing he did, he vomited. He couldn't imagine the horror, and he just vomited. And then he could hear women screaming, my child, my baby, my baby. The dad closed his eyes and he thought back to the first day of school. You know why, my brother? On the first day of school, he did not just take his son to the school gate. He walked him all the way to the class. So the dad knew, one, 8 steps to get into school. 2, turn left and go 29 steps. 3, turn right and go 13 steps. Then he knew if he turned left, he's at the door, the classroom door. Physically, he was still outside. So this dad did what any dad would have done. He started digging. He dug for 2, 5, 9, 12. At 15 hours, he stopped because he couldn't feel his fingers anymore. He looked down, there's blood, glass, and sharp rocks that cut his hand. So he took his shirt off, wrapped him in his hands, and kept digging. 15 became 19, 24. An entire day and night he dug. At 29 hours, he wanted to stop. He was hallucinating, hearing and seeing stuff, but he kept digging. At 32 hours, at 35, at 39 hours, there was a piece of concrete. He couldn't move, so he found a piece of iron. He shoved it in the crack of that concrete. He moved it over, and there was a hole. He couldn't barely breathe anymore. 39 hours, he tried. He laid on his stomach and yelled in the hole, son! He thought he heard something, but he thought he was hallucinating again. So he yelled again, son! He heard something again. He couldn't believe it. So a third time, son! And then he heard it clear as a bell. His son was like, Dad! Dad! I told him you come. I told him you come. He goes, son. He laid on his stomach weeping and crying, this dad. 39 hours of digging for his son. He goes, take my hand. Take my hand. And the son goes, I can. I can. He goes, are you stuck? He goes, no. He goes, can you see me? He goes, yes. He goes, take my hand. The son goes, I can. He goes, son, why? He says, Dad, you got to take my friends first. And he felt a little hand. And he pulled a kid out, and another, and another. 23 times he reached in the hole, and 23 times a kid grabbed his hand. On the 23rd, it was his son. And when he pulled his son out, I was like sitting on the, I was reading that, and I'm like, why am I crying? And then I started thinking about it. Hey, who digged me up? I like that lady. You go, girl. See, you know what? I got to be honest, y'all. I'm going to stop right now because either you were threatened to love me or y'all are really in this story because ain't nobody moved. And I know some of y'all had multiple cups of coffee before we started, but I have never seen nobody moving. Everyone in the room's like, well, can I just say something? God loves you so much that he has a spot for you. He has a moment for you. He has a place where he has his chance to step into your life and say your name and call you out. You see, you got to understand, if you don't know who I am, the reason why at 52 years old I hear a story and start thinking who dig me up is because there ain't nobody left for me, y'all. I know I'm a husband and I have a son and I'm the dad. But if we go back, my mom gave me away because she said I was a mistake. I have a brother and 2 sisters. My mom's husband left her. She ended up sleeping with a man to get food. She got pregnant, and that's how I was born. My mom said I was a mistake, so she gave me away to her favorite teacher. I was raised by my mom's favorite teacher. They saved my life. I was told at 8 years old I was in foster care. And from 8 years old to 21 years old, I just told that whole story, how my mom kept my brother and my 2 sisters. It affected me. And from 8 to 21, I did not want to live. I was highly suicidal. But somebody loved me. The school teacher that my mom gave me to, her and her husband were something else. When I was 12, one night I was crying so hard. They walked in my room, and the husband put his hand on my chest and said, I can't give you my blood, but if you let me, I'll give you my heart. My spot. That was my spot. His wife, the teacher, looked at me and said, I knew your mom. She gave you to me. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be okay. You know why you're going to be okay? She said, we pray for you every night. I know you can hear us. This house isn't that big. I said, yes, I do. And they go, we can love you, but God can change you. That was my spot. It wasn't a moment. It was a spot. It started a healing that took a long time. So from 12 to 21, all of a sudden I started thinking, maybe I can live. Everybody deserves a spot. No matter where you're from, no matter who you are, that moment where you realize, maybe, all I got to get you to think today is just, maybe I can change. Maybe I can have hope. Maybe there's a love for me. Maybe there's a place for me. Because guess what? Maybe changes to this. You start with, well, maybe I can do that. You know what? I think I can do that. You know what? I'm going to do that. You know what? I'm already there. And it starts with a spot. I'm not the smartest preacher. I'm definitely the entertaining one, you know what I'm saying? Y'all don't know what I'm going to say next. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say next. But I know one thing for sure. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. And some of you are starting to think that you've gone too far. But let me tell you this. Listen to me. You will always have a choice. No matter what word is tagged to your life, you always have a choice. The most vile, nasty, most vulgar word I've ever thought of in my life, or I could ever think of in my life, is called raped. To think that someone would take something from you that you didn't want to give away, but they took it and you can never give it away again. That's a vile, wicked word. But wouldn't it be awesome if one day the memory, the thought, the time, the place, what if you found something stronger than that word raped? What if you found something more powerful that one day you decide your choice is rape, pack your junk, and get out of my head. You have no place here no more. You have no authority no more. I found something stronger, greater, more powerful than what happened in my past. My past is my history. Now Jesus is my future. Do you know why I say Jesus? Here's why I say Jesus. Let's just go logical. Do you know that we have machines and computers and stuff that can find anything? I live near Miami, Florida. About a year and a half ago, a man put his initials on a quarter. It's a coin in America. And he went to the beach in Florida, and he hid the coin. Up and down the coastline of Florida is a beach. He could do it anywhere he wanted. It's like kilometers and kilometers of beach in Florida. It's on the Atlantic Ocean, and it's just huge, huge. He hid this coin with his initials on it. Did you know that scientists made a machine? They went over there, and they started at one end of Miami, and they started going up the beach, just up the beach with these machines. And do you know they found that coin? Did you know that they found the clothes that Jesus was buried in? The actual clothing. Did you know? They say they found the tree that they crucified Jesus on. Did you know that they found part of Noah's Ark? Did you know that they know where all this stuff is? But did you know they can't find Jesus' body? And you know what the scientists say? Now, not the preacher. The scientists say it's a phenomenon. Well, if that's a phenomenon, then I want that phenomenon with me. Because every day I could think there's greater, higher, there's something bigger than me, than every day I can breathe, because hope still comes my way. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, this is your spot. Touch your other neighbor and say, this is your moment. Can I do one more thing? I'm about to pray, but I want to do one more thing. If you have a situation that you're going through and you're like, I don't know what to do, then let me help you out with this. If you got to, it's another story in the Bible. This time it's in the book of Mark chapter 9. I'll read it and then I'll explain it. It says this. When they came to the other side, they saw a large crowd around the teacher of the law and arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and they ran to Jesus. Jesus asked, "What are you arguing about?" A man in the crowd said, "Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by spirits, has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him and throws him on the ground, he foams at the mouth, gashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." Now, verse 19, "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long will I put up with you? How long will I be with you? Bring the boy to me." Everybody say, "Bring the boy to me." Come on, touch your neighbor and say, "Bring the boy to Jesus." You're going to understand that in a minute. So they brought him to Jesus. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy on the ground in convulsions. He fell on the ground, rolling around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" Okay, now look. Everybody look at Reggie. Some of you are highly educated people, and some of you have already recalled back to when I said, when I was talking about Zacchaeus, that Jesus was half God, half man, and that he knew everything because he's God in man form. Now Jesus is asking the father, "How long has your boy been like that?" Did Jesus not care about this boy, so he didn't think about how long he's been messed up with this spirit? No. I'll tell you why Jesus asked. See, Jesus didn't ask the father for Jesus' behalf. He asked the father for the father's behalf. Are y'all with me? Say yeah. Let me explain. The father's answer is as follows. From childhood, he's been like this. Often, the spirit would throw him into fire and into water and try to kill him. But if you could do anything, have pity on us. Okay, wait a minute. The dad goes, often this spirit throws him in fire and water, tries to kill him. I got a question. If this spirit is trying to kill that boy, why isn't the boy already dead? Are y'all with me? Say yeah. The only reason the boy isn't dead is because there was someone there every time to pull that boy out of the water and to pull that boy out of the fire. And it was the dad. I believe with all my heart that when Jesus looked at the dad and said, "How long has he been like that?" And the dad goes, "From childhood." And then when the dad puts his hands up, the scars from third degree burns are on the back of the dad's hand. From every time he pulled the boy out of the fire. See, y'all, anybody starting to get this? Anybody starting to understand? Here's what I want you to know. You see, here's the deal. Whatever you're going through today, whatever you need God to do today, you need to bring it to him. Because all it said was, Jesus said, "Bring the boy to me." And when they did, he goes, "Dad, how long has he been like this? Fire and water, trying to kill him." And then he goes, "If you could do anything, have pity on us." I love verse 23. You got to read it. Verse 23 says, "If you can." That's what the guy goes, "If you could do anything, have pity on us." Jesus goes, "If? If? What you mean, if?" Jesus could be an American right there, y'all, because we are arrogant, y'all. We got it going on. I can see. Dude, you got to understand. You know how you don't tug on Superman's cape, all right? You don't spit in the wind, all that stuff it says in that song. Then here's the deal. You don't doubt Jesus. So many of us think Jesus is some dude with blonde hair and blue eyes from Norway running through the woods hugging trees. Every now and then, you need to have a picture of Jesus like Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator with guns loaded going, "I'll be back." That's what you got to have. That anything you're going through, he could take care of it. Anything that's hurting you on this Sunday morning, he's got your spot, your moment, your chance to let him take care of it. Anything that's been going on over and over, that your faith is weak, you don't think you can make it. Just like this dad, Jesus looked at him and said, "If I can do anything." He was literally looking at the dad going, "You did your job, now let me do mine. I got this." What if you could live every day knowing that that kind of faith was yours? That kind of God was on your side? This is your spot. This is your moment. This is your choice. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. Thank you that you love us so much, that you care about us so much. God, I know that you're on our side. I know that you're here for us. And I pray right now, God, that you would speak to someone. God, I know it's Sunday, sun's out, breeze is blowing, it's nice. But Jesus, you know what we need. I want to ask you a question, just a private moment. You don't have to look up. Is there anybody here going through something that's been a problem for a long time? Kind of like the dad with his son? And you're kind of sort of desperate going, "What am I going to do?" For one moment, what if Jesus can help you. You notice how I said that? What if Jesus? Of course, Jesus is in heaven looking down going, if. But I told you, he gave you your choice. You get to choose to give him the hurt. You get to choose to give him the sorrow. You get to choose to give him the pain of your past. And I just want to pray for anybody who wants to do that. So with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around, if you say, Reggie, I have something in my life. And for me, I'm like that dad. If Jesus can help me, have pity on me. Give it to him. So right now, if you say, Reggie, I need that prayer. I have something in my life. I need Jesus to take care of it. If that's you, raise your hand, put it down. That way I know who I'm praying for. Thank you. I see those hands. Awesome. All over the room. That's awesome. I see that hand. I see you. I see you. You can put your hand down. Jesus, I pray for every hand that was raised, that God, you would answer the cry of their heart today. God, let them know that you are able to take care of them, that you love them just the way they are. Let hope rise in this room, Jesus. I pray that you would do that for them. The next and the last person I want to pray for. You're buried today. You're buried under your own choices, your own mistakes, your own sin. You're buried under the past. Why did I do that? Why did I go there? Why me? Why does this have to be me? Other people do this and they don't have no problems. Me, I get in trouble every time. I mess up every time. I can't get out of this hole. I need you on this Sunday to realize that Jesus set us all up. I'm nothing but the biggest, blackest greeting card from heaven you've ever seen. And it's saying Jesus is digging you up. He's reaching into your hole. He's reaching into your shame, your sorrow, your pain right now. And he wants you to take his hand. You see, when the dad yelled in the hole, son, the son replied, dad. See, Jesus knows where you're at, but you got to reply. So if you're here and you say, Reggie, my life is messed up. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Reggie, my life's messed up. I need hope. If that's you, raise your hand and put it down real fast. Go. I see those hands. Awesome. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hope is here. Hope is here. This is going to sound a little strange, but I believe in the power of the touch. So right now, take the hand of the person on the left. Take the hand of the person on the right. There you go. There you go. That's good. Just hold them by the hand. I want to say a prayer. I can't touch everybody, but now somebody's being touched by somebody. Jesus, I pray that you would touch every person that raised their hand. God, you know what they're going through. You know what they need. You know the hope. You know the love that they need. And I pray as we pray this prayer together, you would make something supernatural take place in this room. So everybody in the room, encourage those who did raise their hand. If you raise your hand, this is yours. Say this with me. Everybody say, Jesus, I come to you. This is my spot. This is my moment, and I choose you, Jesus. Help me today. Save me today. Speak to my situation today. I give it to you. Now be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, thank you for touching me. Keep your head bowed and eye closed. I want you to hear what I'm doing. Your pastor, Pastor Phil, is coming up and he's facing the audience. He's looking at you. He's the only one looking. He's the only one looking. Because, see, the Bible says in Matthew, if you declare me before men, I will declare you before my Father in heaven. So if you're in this room today and you can let go of the hand of the left and right, but just leave your head bowed. Two things you have to show Pastor. One, if you came here today and you said, Reggie, I raised my hand. I have a situation I had to give to God, and I gave it to him. This was my spot, and you did that. Just raise your hand and look at Pastor, and you can look back down. Go. You did that. There you go. There you go. All over the room. Awesome. Good. You can bow your head. If you said today, Reggie, I'm buried. You prayed for me. I was buried under my own choices, wrong choices, my own mistakes, my own sin, and I prayed with you today. Then real fast, look up and look at Pastor Phil. Go. Do it and just raise your hand. Let him see you. Let him see you. Awesome. It's good. Before he says another word, we're simply going to sing this chorus one more time. And just listen to it.
All we want and all we need is found.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.